Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm John Harwood in Washington with an update on the story we brought you.
Well, howdy. Hang on a minute. Dang it. Let's get this right. I hate autoplay. Yeah, howdy. Okay. We'll get this. Damn it. Yeah, it's about a minute and a half past the hour. Friday on the Front Porch begins. I should know better than to try to check out a breaking news story right as I'm running the intro audio. But I didn't know better, and I'd done it anyway. And that's the price I paid. I was just checking in on the latest bottle rocket launch over in North Korea, in which they desperately hope to convince the stupidest man on Earth to do something really stupid. Yeah, oh well, you know, you're gonna have that here. Because, well, that's 2017. So 2017. Of course, I remember when a 6'6" tall Saudi with a portable dialysis machine conned another stupid man in the White House into getting into a couple of wars that we're still trying to figure our way out of. Yeah, oh, well, yeah, it happens. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. The program is live on this, the 28th day of April, 2017. And the 28th of April, 2017, just happens to be a Friday, so that means it's Friday on the Front Porch. It's also the last broadcast day of April 2017. We will start a brand new month come Monday. Thanks, huge thanks to Karen and Frank and the overnight subscription crew for keeping last night from being a total disaster. It wasn't a total disaster. And, well, we've only got the regular fundraising goal for this evening, namely $200. And courtesy of Chris in Germany, there's a challenge on the table. You know, Chris is the author of the Nudge the Norsky Challenge, and she really wants to make sure that the challenge gets met. So she's put $50 on the table in hopes that it will be matched by another 50, and therefore we will go merrily into May. And that would be nice because... God, amazing to consider, but yes, as of Monday, and I don't know right now that we're going to do anything. I'd say there's like a 20% chance of maybe no program on Monday. Why? Well, because Monday will mark 24 years of wedded bliss for Agnes and me. 24 years. And so I don't know. It might be nice to try to go and do something nice, take her out to dinner, something like that. Maybe see a movie. I don't know. I tell you what, you guys are the boss anyway. I'll let you make that call. Do I need to be here for more in Monday, or can I take... can I take the other boss out for our anniversary? You tell me. So I'll just wait and hear and find out. And that way I'll tell, you know. She's been gone for a couple of weeks. She's been over at our eldest's home helping look after the grandchildren while our eldest goes to work and does those sorts of things to support her family. But she's coming home tomorrow, and we will, and she'll, you know, be here for a while and then rotate back over to, and that's complicated. Family stuff, you know, happens. Anyway, she'll be here tomorrow, and you tell me, you know, if you want me to take Monday off and take Agnes out for an anniversary dinner. I was thinking sushi, but, you know, that's just me. Because I got a fighting chance. I hear they've got great bonito flavored yogurt there. I'm kidding. But that's the thought. That's the thought. But that also means that we'd lose an evening of, well, we'd kind of start out the first of the month in a hole. I don't know, it's kind of difficult. But anyway, from the chat room, by the way, if you'd like to be part of the chat room, it's fun, it's free, it's easy. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a password, a screen name, and jump in, and you will be immediately greeted by Jug of Punch and Lamar with the silent R, and Squeaky and Steve from Georgia Stan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has been promoted to Spacing Guild Master because he can now fold space to multiple places at one time. It is currently this evening Sparky HDTV, who just said "Go Bob" in big bold letters. So we'll see how the vote comes out. Okay. Brother Deacon Asa remembers. Maybe you guys can reenact the active shooter situation during the wedding. We'd rather not. Nor the bumblebee down the wedding dress part either. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly, Lamar. Happy anniversary, Big Bob. Happy anniversary to Agnes too, right? Thank you. Thank you. So we've got $50 on the table, and now, if I understand correctly, Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm looking for two old hickories for a Brother Deacon to match. So that would make $90 in matching challenges on the table, which would get us pretty darn close to whipping the whole fundraising thing pretty darn quick. If I understood correctly, I'm not sure. You tell me, Asa. Maybe I got that wrong. I don't know. Because this is a listener-supported network, and we are that close to finishing April on schedule. And if we do that, it will be awesome. So thank you all very, very, very kindly as we go forward. If you want to help out, just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute, fill out the PayPal interface. If you'd like to become a regular monthly set it and forget it contributor, just click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. Mr. Soros, the Horn Family Community Congregation really is getting tired of carrying you on their backs. Now would be a really good time to just put that $10,000 in the subscription box and click the box, check the box, and walk away and be the villain to the right wing that they all say that you are. You know, it's tough to it's kind of a shame to have such a reputation and really not do anything to earn it. So there's that. The mailing address, of course, is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. We recommend checks and money orders because, postal processing centers have been known to get a little bit sticky-fingered, shall we say. But that's just how it goes. Okay, then. That takes care of everything else. It is, like I said, Friday on the front porch, and here in about 50 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, also moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable Horn Malloy Skype chat group moderator, Sparky. And if you've never participated before and you would like to try, well, you're going to need Skype, and Skype is really, really easy, except in some circumstances, like involving Linux-based systems, as Angry told us about last night. Anyway, fire up Skype, reach out to Sparky Dunk, Sparkydunc, on Skype, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, and he'll tell you which quadrant of the sky this evening the Bob signal will be appearing in, and you'll be ready to go. For those of you who absolutely cannot manage to use Skype, well, we have the stress line for you, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Okay, so let me just check here. Smitty says, by all means, take Monday off, Bob. Enjoy yourselves. Robert, all the way from Australia, says, take Monday off. Take the Viking warrior princess out. So we got a lot of votes along those lines. Marty even says, hey, we could all be dead by Monday. Happy anniversary, Bob. Yes, take Lady Agnes out to celebrate the day. Brother Deacon Asa adding, P.S., take Monday off, Bob. You deserve it. Agnes deserves it. It ain't about me. This is about, you know, it's about Agnes. She's put up with a lot in the course of 24 years. I'm sorry, that just blows my mind. It just does. But I'm proud of myself. I'm a good husband. I actually remember how many years. Yes. So, I don't know if you realize it or not, but the National Rifle Association is having its Klan rally. Annual convention in Hotlanta this weekend. Hopefully they won't celebrate it by having a school shooting or anything. Or, you know, Wayne LaPierre won't mark the occasion by spinning his great big NRA roulette wheel o' death to see where it stops next. But before the convention even opened, freedom was, well, sent packing. Or, as the case may be, not packing. Because the Secret Service, of all people who have, the Secret Service that has so many guns, the Secret Service said, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-metalist, ammo-sexuals, would not be allowed to carry their freedom protectors into the NRA convention. Why? Because the pumpkin potentate was coming to speak. They couldn't even carry him in there unloaded, where they could be used as clubs or blackjacks instead of loaded engines of death. I don't know why the Secret Service hates freedom, but attendees at Comrade Kumquat's speech today had to leave their shooting arms back to the hotel. Terrible, terrible. And of course, Marcus Aurelius did show up and made a speech. It's not that long a clip. Let's go with it.
Right? The British are coming. Now we have other people trying to come, but believe me, they're not going to be successful. That I can tell. Nothing changes, right, folks? Nothing changes. They are not going to be successful. There'll be serious hurt on them, not on us. Next came the shot, heard round the world, and then a ragtag army of God-fearing farmers, frontiersmen, shopkeepers, merchants that stood up to the most powerful army at that time on Earth, the most powerful army on Earth. But we sometimes forget what inspired those everyday farmers and workers in that great war for independence. Many years after the war, a young man asked Captain Levi Preston, age 91, why he fought alongside his neighbors at Concord.
For those of you scoring at home, it's actually Levi. His name was Levi Preston, but, you know, Trump.
Bear arms, never ever. We are ruled by...
Yeah, here we go.
We don't... of a sovereign people to govern their own...
Hold on.
Captain Preston's words are a reminder of what this...
Oh, let's go back and get all of Captain Preston's words, because this is going to be important in a minute.
Many years after the war, a young man asked Captain Levi Preston, age 91, why he fought alongside his neighbors at Concord. Was it the Stamp Act? Was it the tea tax? Was it a work of philosophy?
You know, every time I hear tea tax, I think about that wonderful moment in Warner Brothers animation history where Bugs Bunny is explaining the history of the revolution to his young nephew. And George III is, of course, depicted as being mad as a March hare, which he was from time to time. It's all that inbreeding. You're my cousin, you're my cousin, you're my cousin, you're my brother, we're all royalty. That kind of thing. And there's this scene where he says, and then came the tea tax. And some royal advisor is standing next to the king and says, but sire, those aren't tea tax, those are carpet tax. At which point, the crazy king starts shaking carpet tacks all over the floor and says, well, they're tea tacks now. That would be a lot more enjoyable than, you know, this.
Replied, then why, he was asked. Young man, the captain said, what we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We always had governed ourselves, and we always meant to govern ourselves.
Profound, huh?
Captain Preston's words are a reminder of what this organization and my administration are all about.
Okay, so stand by a minute. You remember back at the Republican convention that they had in Cleveland while most of his future administration was bowing and scraping and kissing the ring of Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak at a Heritage Foundation event, you know, somewhere near the convention venue? You remember Melanoma's big night? Melanoma's big night when she offered up her memories of growing up as a poor black child on the mean streets of Chicago. You remember the night that she completely plagiarized Michelle Obama's own words. And the plagiarism was later attributed to somebody who to this day nobody can find. You know, an aide, a speechwriter to Melanoma, that has never been seen in public, has never been heard from again. Yeah. Well, apparently it's another one of those things like, you know, the Clementine Caligula here saying, you know, if my daughter wasn't my daughter, I'd probably want to have sex with her. She's so hot. Yeah, they keep it in the family, in the Trump family. So I want to share a little bit of text with you. You just heard Marcus Aurelius telling the story of that day in April of 1775, and now hardly a man is still alive, yada, yada, yada. Many years after the war, young men asked Captain Levi Preston, age 91, why he fought alongside his neighbors at Concord. Was it the Stamp Act? Blah, 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 blah. We always had governed ourselves, and we always meant to govern ourselves. Okay, compare that with this. Many years later, Captain Levi Preston of Danvers was asked why he went to war that day. At the age of 91, his memory of the Lexington alarm was crystal clear. An historian asked him, "Captain Preston, what made you go to the Concord fight? Were you oppressed by the Stamp Act?" he asked. "I never saw any stamps," Preston answered, "and I always understood that none were ever sold." "Well, what about the tea tax?" "Tea tax? I never drank a drop of the stuff, and the boys threw it all overboard." "Well, then, what was the matter?" "Young man, what we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We always had governed ourselves, and we always meant to. They didn't mean we should." Those are words written by a historian by the name of David Hackett Fisher. David Hackett Fisher is a history professor at Brandeis University, and he once wrote a book called Paul Revere's Ride. And the President of the United States boldly, brazenly, plagiarized Professor Fisher's own words. And it's there. There's video of it, of him doing it. Here's a question for the legal scholars. Does plagiarism rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors? I mean, we know blowjobs do, right? Stained blue dresses do. Waving your knuckle at the nation and saying, "I did not have sex with that woman, Meslowensky." That counts. That's a high crime and misdemeanor because it served as grounds for impeachment. How about plagiarism? Out and out, bare-ass naked plagiarism. Because that's what it is. "Young man," the captain said, "what we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We always had governed ourselves, and we always meant to govern ourselves. Young man, what we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We always had governed ourselves, and we always meant to." That's still plagiarism. And I remember back in the 90s when you couldn't turn on the radio without hearing the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, having a hiss. He said, "My friends, what will we tell the children? It's unsafe to turn on the television when your children are present because they'll hear about what a liar the President of the United States is. What shall we tell the children, my friends?" Here we are again. What shall we tell the children? The president is a word thief. The president has things written down for him and then takes credit for words that do not belong to him, that were not written by him. Oh, well, Goodness me, he's the president, isn't he? Oh, okay, well, that clears it up. James with a note said, nope, you have to get him to lie about blowing the author. Or being blown by, I mean, you know. But even that doesn't count because the guy admitted to sexual assault and he still managed to get elected president of the United States because there's a bunch of people in the country who think, well, you know, as long as he wasn't black while he was sexually assaulting people. Yeah. Well, let's finish these dumbass remarks, shall we?
The right of a sovereign people to govern their own affairs and govern them properly.
Meanwhile, while the mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers are clapping there in Hotlanta, we're not governing ourselves very well. Today it was announced that the Congress of the United States, whose first and most important real job is to keep the government going, couldn't come up with anything more than a 1 week, not 1 month, not 1 year, a 1 week budget bill that would make sure that the government continued to function. Goddess of irony. She may have written those words. Just saying.
We don't want any longer to be ruled by the bureaucrats in Washington or in any other country for that matter. In America, we are ruled by our citizens. We are ruled by each and every one of you. But we can't be complacent. These are dangerous times. These are horrible times for
horrible, horrible.
Certain obvious reasons, but we're going to make them great times again. Every day, we are up against those who would take away our freedoms, restrict our liberties, and even those who want to abolish the Second Amendment. We must be vigilant, and I know you are all up to the task. Since the first generation of Americans stood strong at Concord, each generation to follow has answered the call to defend freedom in their time. That is why we are here today, to defend freedom for our children, to defend...
You got that? They're there today to defend freedom. And yet he, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, assaulted freedom by his very presence. Because those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, ammosexuals had to give up their freedom to carry instrumentations of deadly import into that hall and be armed to the bloody teeth while he addressed them. Oh, freedom. Apparently, to Donald Trump, freedom's just another word for leave your guns at the door. NRA wants guns in schools. NRA wants guns in movie theaters. NRA wants guns in bars, guns in restaurants, guns in churches, guns in stadiums, guns in arenas, guns in homes, guns in nursing homes, guns in hospitals. But those chicken shit sons of bitches don't want guns anywhere that they might be used on them. Oops. All right. Wait a minute. That's for Brother Deacon Asa. Not armed to the teeth, Bob. The right to be armed to the bloody tooth. Yeah. So now he's the pumpkin plagiarist. And we don't know. We don't know what to tell the children. But of course, the Tangerine Tiberius was not the only one to speak there at the Klan rally, convention. No. Wayne LaPeter, who runs that terrorist or that domestic terrorist organization, spoke as well. And he chose a right interesting topic.
Hello, America. I'll tell you, it's great to be here with all of you today. And I want to welcome you to this great celebration of American values. I know you're excited to see President Trump. I am too.
Wait, that sounded a little bit tepid. Maybe it's because they didn't get to bring their guns in and they realized that he had just stolen their freedom.
And American gun owners can already see a real difference since the election.
Really? Because, see, in 8 years of the hopelessly mendacious, prevaricative, all this fucking liar, hollering that Obama was going to get their guns, somehow or another, these dipshits still have all their guns. I know. It confuses me, too. Mm-hmm. But
especially now in the Supreme Court. I know you'll all join me in saying, thank you, Mr. President, and keep it up. We must.
You know, I heard that little ding, and I don't know where it came from, but I immediately thought, Capricorn 4237, carousel awaits.
Do all we can to support our president, because as you know, there's an intense war that's being waged by leftist zealots to destroy President Trump and destroy his administration.
Leftist zealots. One of these days, I'd like to meet one of those. So far, they're right up there with leprechauns and hobbits and unicorns and hillbillies. The leftist zealots are trying to... I wonder if maybe some of that tepid clapping has to do with the fact that that some of these necks have figured out that when the goddess of irony finally catches up to them, and they wind up in one of those news stories that features a quote that the one, the gun just went off, and Cletus winds up, not you, Cletus, you're a good puppy, you're a sweet little girl, but Billy Jim Joe Bob Jethro winds up with a bullet going through his thigh and, you know, into his other foot, and he needs to go to the hospital all lickety split and get kept from bleeding to death and, you know, losing a leg to gangrene and stuff. I wonder if he's noticed that maybe that guy that he voted for there so earnestly as he poured money into purchasing Chinese Make America Great Again hats for the whole damn family. Wonder if maybe he's noticed that the orange guy that he voted for has spent most of his time trying to make sure that he won't be able to get the health care he needs when the gun just goes off.
Maybe.
Never mind. What about those leftist zealots?
Seemingly stopping nothing, including tearing apart our country. It's all part of a larger war being waged right now against...
A war. Not an ideological struggle, not an argument, not a debate. God damn it, it's a war. What a pity those poor bastards there in that building didn't have their goddamn guns.
Truth in America. It's a calculated, orchestrated attack against the values upon which our great nation was founded. Against our uniquely American true freedom.
Uniquely American. Wait a minute, I've got the definition. Oh, yeah. According to Dim Leader, uniquely American is defined as working three jobs and still not able to make ends meet. Uniquely American.
If we don't stand up to them, and I mean now, an entire generation of Americans could be lost.
Lost how, Wayne? Lost how? Because mostly we lose a lot of Americans when, with no warning whatsoever, your membership goes from being lawful gun owners to awful gun owners in precisely the space of in space and time, the distance that the firing pin has to travel to hit the shell. Lost how? Let's see if he's got any explanation.
In our nation, along with them. It's up to us to speak up against the three most dangerous voices in America.
Three most dangerous voices in America. You got a hint there. Academics are the first most dangerous voice. You know, people who know things and then try to teach the things they know to other people who don't know those things yet. Academics. Math professors. Biology professors. Goddamn dangerous academics. Socials. Oh, Jesus, not anthropologists. French professors.
Academic elites, political elites, and media elites. These are America's greatest domestic threats.
Elites. Because, you know, Wayne LaPierre gets driven in a limousine everywhere he goes. Wayne LaPierre makes enough money every year off of, you know, money from the firearms industry and money from the suckers, I mean members of the National Rifle Association, the world's most well-funded domestic terrorist organization, to burn a sopping wet elephant. But Wayne LaPierre, he's just like you, Billy Joe Bob Jethro. He ain't no elite.
Academic elites salt the soil of fertile young minds. Political elites plant lies to take advantage of the under and misinformed. And leftist media elites deliberately deceive and spin and twist the truth to grow their anti-American agenda.
In other words, we need to keep you real stupid. And the fact that we're succeeding is proven by your presence in this room today.
The radical left in this country have hijacked too many of our schools and colleges. And now they're trying to hijack our youth.
Yeah, they've hijacked our schools. I mean, we can't even send our precious little 6-year-olds strapping 9mm semi-automatic 17-round clip pistols to class anymore. And we can't feel safe.
Young Americans are taught national shame over exceptionalism, socialism and communism over free market capitalism, government control over self-destiny, the collective good over individualism.
Yeah, because you know what? Individualism individualism does such an excellent job, an absolutely excellent job of you know,
agenda. The radical left in this country have hijacked too many of our schools and colleges, and now they're trying to hijack our youth.
Yep, you can't even take a 30-06 to class with you anymore because the school's been hijacked. And what will we do when the grizzly bears come? What will we do? What will we do?
Young Americans are taught national shame over exceptionalism, socialism and communism over free market capitalism, government control over self-destiny.
You know what I love about all that self-destiny and bootstrapping and stuff? There's no way that that can make sure that our elderly don't live lives of miserable poverty. There's no way that all that individualism and self-destinating can make sure that everybody can go to the doctor when they get sick. And, you know, the ones who can't, well, fuck them. They weren't, you know, God didn't like them anyway, right? Yeah, right. You got it. There we go. On the mark. Sure.
The collective good over individualism. Scores aren't kept. No winners or losers. It's about participation trophies.
Jesus God, how old is that one? Flush Flimball has been pissing and moaning about participation trophies since he was a shit weasel broadcasting locally in Sacramento. It's stunning. These twits haven't come up with an original idea since the Harding administration.
Are left unprepared for the real world. No longer do young minds study the Constitution, especially not the individual freedom and self-empowerment of the Second Amendment.
Objection, Your Honor. Assumes facts not in evidence. I mean, I would like a more rigorous and robust teaching of civics in this country. But, damn. He just made a categorical statement that no child in America is ever taught about the Constitution. None. Not one. Never. Nowhere. I can remember a time when each of our children could recite the preamble. They may have forgotten it by now, but they did learn it. Learned it in school. Now, the problem here is not that not enough children are reading the Second Amendment. The problem is that there's too many schools out there that are teaching kids that the Second Amendment is the only thing about the Constitution worth having, and that as long as they got a gun, everything's all everything's beer and Skittles. We've got a brand new asshole on the Supreme Court who thinks that the First Amendment's nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry, and that some billionaire religious freaks worries about the precious little fetuses outweighs the right of a woman to make decisions about the reproductive workings of her own body. And he's talking to a room full of people who wouldn't know Article 1 from the 25th Amendment. Oh, well.
History, and even American heroes and real American values, the values and principles that built our nation.
Dog whistle, real American values. Substitute the word white. And that whole that built that our nation bullshit. Yeah, Wayne LaPeter doesn't want to hear anybody telling him who actually, you know, physically built the nation.
Are rewritten or admitted altogether. The result is an emerging generation of citizens with warped minds. When their turn comes, how can they possibly lead, lacking any fundamental grounding in American principles and values?
Okay, he may have a point here, and this is a little bit of a digression. If you want to have the best laugh you have ever had, that you've had in possibly days, weeks, or months, and I was tweeting back and forth with Sandra about this earlier today, get on Twitter and go read the hashtag Fyre Festival. F-Y-R-E Festival. Now, this was a scam that was put forward by a guy named Ja Rule. And wealthy kids were promised the time of their lives at a music festival on Exuma in the Bahamas in the Caribbean. They were charged anywhere from $1,200 to $250,000, you heard me right, for a week-long experience that would feature such mind-blowing acts as Ja Rule and Blink 182 and fabulous catering and awesome camping experiences. Well, they started showing up last night for Fyre Festival, and they were given a styrofoam to-go container with two slices of bread, two slices of cheese, and a little pile of lettuce with no dressing. No dressing. The whole thing was pitched by Ja Rule and Kendall Jenner and some other beautiful little Instagram model. And then it got ugly. Seriously, just get on Twitter. Read the hashtag FYRE Festival, and I guarantee you some of the better laughs that you have had all day long. A guy found a conch shell and blew it. Now he is the leader. We call him Ralph. That was a joke. On the other hand, this wasn't. It was a photograph of the scene, and somebody wrote to the person who posted it and said, "Hi, I'm a reporter at Business Insider. Could we please have permission to use this picture in our article? Thanks." "Yes, you may." All caps. "Please send help. They trapped us. Please." I don't know why those little, poor little trust fund babies couldn't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Yeah. That's Ralph's conch shell. That's as close as I'm going to get, though, to actually agreeing with Wayne LaPeter.
Even now, the political elites feed off the uninformed, self-absorbed, self-minded generation. Free safe spaces, free college, free health care, free jobs, or if not, free money to get by, free immigration, free sanctuary cities. Bernie Sanders was not...
Here we go. This is the fun part. This tells you that Bernie is apparently having an impact because he's frightening Wayne LaPeter. No more is he calling out, you know, Hillary. Oh, God, Hillary! Oh. No. No. Bernie.
Self-absorbed, self-minded generation. Free safe spaces, free college, free health care, free jobs, or if not, free money to get by, free immigration, free sanctuary cities. Bernie Sanders was not a movement, as a fawning media called his campaign. Bernie is a political predator of young voters who were lied to by school teachers and college professors.
I want to know more about these lies that were told by school teachers and college professors. 3 times 3 equals free health care. Okay, kids, today we're going to be we're going to be dissecting the frog. Of course, you're going to make an incision and then a cross incision, and it's going to open a flap, kind of like two little flaps. And when you look, and if you get down there, you know, behind the kidneys, you're going to find the free money. Oh, listen to him
cheer.
Set
up for his message of big government socialism. Free for me. No one told the truth about how that free stuff was going to be paid for. It was all one big fat lie. And the media, they were in on the lie from the start because it fit their agenda.
You know, you'd almost think that Bernie Sanders was the president of the United States the way he's talking, wouldn't you?
When did the media stop being journalists and start becoming PR flacks for the destruction of our country?
I don't know. When did you start supporting media to be PR flacks for the National Rifle Association death lottery? You're more likely to have an answer to that than any of us. Oh, they had to turn on the applause sign. That was a little slow starting.
You know, it's a question Americans are asking all over the country every time they turn on their TV or pick up their newspaper. It's all about their own celebrity, ratings, and agenda. The truth doesn't matter because truth is no longer a fundamental principle.
Yeah, we could probably say the same for facts, couldn't we, Wayne? Because you're not dealing with any of them. Facts are anathema there. At the NRA headquarters, blood-soaked in Fairfax, Virginia, aren't they? Because the fact is, your membership is probably participating to one degree or another in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and they like it. And when your pet congressman tried to take it away, your membership didn't take well to it at all.
It's now... just a political device. There's no limit to how far of a truth can be stretched or perverted, so long as it suits their political end game.
Does this fuckwit not realize he's describing himself? I mean, really. Everything that he's saying can be used to describe exactly what the NRA is and does. Yeah, except the free health care. The NRA has yet to pay a goddamn dime for a single child murdered in a school. Has yet to cough up even a nickel for people blown away by those lawful gun owners in movie theaters and restaurants.
I have long believed that one of America's greatest threats is a national news media that fails to tell the truth.
You can translate that in by saying a national news media that fails to tell what we tell the national news media to say. And, you know, Steve, in New York, you're absolutely right. It's an alternative truth, Bob. This is all just an alternative reality.
There's just too often a calculated campaign to destroy honest truth, to pervert it, to dictate how we should think, how we should feel, or how we should act.
And yet there he is doing exactly the same thing.
It's all drowning truth of America's better voices. It's all drowning that out.
You understand that? You are not part of America's better voices. The only better voices that America has are the ones that support murder, that support guns in schools. Yeah. What a pity we used the Talking Heads Psycho Killer not too long back. That would be that'd be real handy about now. Used Murder by Numbers not too long back too. Oh well, I think this will probably get us where we need to be. And Atlanta. Why did America's merchants of death decide to go to Atlanta? Well, there were at least counter protesters there. There was a die-in outside the NRA rally during Comrade Kumquat's speech. But probably the best response was offered nowhere near Atlanta. The best response was offered by Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut. Because Chris Murphy can't quite get Sandy Hook Elementary. So Chris Murphy spent the afternoon remembering the victims of Sandy Hook and posting their photographs on Twitter, as well as other victims of the NRA's compulsory death lottery. Anna Marquez Green, age 6. Jessica Gowie, age 24. Jordan Davis, age 17. Benjamin Wheeler, age 6. Hadiya Pendleton, age 15. Allison Parker, age 24. You might remember Allison Parker. She was the young journalist in Virginia who was blown away by a lawful gun owner turned awful gun owner. Daniel Barden, age 7. Christopher Lavelle Jones, age 17. Christopher Ross Michaels Martinez, age 20. Terrell Bosley, age 18. Dylan Hockley, age 6. Might be worthwhile going over to at Chris Murphy CT and retweeting some of those pictures. Maybe even hashtag them NRA Death Lottery. Just saying. And hey, big thanks are going out. All challenges have been met with a big boost, courtesy. Well, let's per. Let me just share the note with you. Or perhaps a perfect pair. Happy anniversary and many happy returns. For noodle's sake, take the better half to dinner Monday. This should take care of necessary month-end nudging and licking, and put a good-sized dent in it for a guilt-free night out on Monday. Please eschew the fugu. Damn! How did you know? And maybe the stomach can take the sushi rice. Best regards, Mark, formerly of San Francisco, now of Texas, and Carlo. Thanks, Mark and Carlo. Thank you very kindly. That does take a lot of pressure off. So, I think the decision's been made. You guys have given me the night off on Monday. Thank you very, very much. And thank you, Mark and Carlo. And thank you, Chris, for the challenge. And thank you to Brother Deacon Asa for the challenge. And thank you, Randy, for jumping in. And Randy's been having internet problems today. Randy jumped in as a subscriber to make sure that things weren't quite so, that we had a little month-end boost. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Subject line from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Now, those French, they might impeach. Sorry, Bob, but something as nebulous as plagiarism doesn't rise to the level of an impeachable offense in America. A nation that sees its own history in terms of trivia and the power of wealth to be worshipped as free speech prefers gossip to public accountability anyway. It's the things that aren't going on in someone else's bedroom that are most important, not the daily buffoonery gushing out of the media machine in broad daylight. Where's the sauce, the scandal in that? Everybody and their baby is posing before the camera, snapping a selfie, dreaming of celebrity. Before the French had their revolution and whacked the aristocracy, they had enough sense to kill God. But we children of that stiff British reserve, we just keep on letting the ruling class pound. See, pound the old-time religion into our skulls every single day. Talk about plagiarism. Regards, Steve in China. There's a lot of truth there. Imagine that. Plagiarism is not a high crime or misdemeanor within the meaning of the Constitution. But it is also serious enough to ruin the academic career of a young scholar or end the professional career of a writer. But in regards to a president named Trump, it's just Friday. And yes, sadly, I fear Steve in China is correct. So it's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and see where the conversation leads us. I'm looking forward to the conversation, and if you want to jump in, you're mighty welcome. We have some Jim Dandy conversations on Friday. It's a perfect way to end the broadcast week. So, a break, and then back to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is 9 minutes past the hour, Friday on the front porch on this 28th day of April, 2017. I can happily announce that, yes, we have finished the month in good order. The Norske is nudged. The Lithuanian is licked. There's been much nudging and licking, as Mark and Carlo pointed out. And by the way, during the break, I sent a message to the boss, telling her that you guys had given me the night off to take her out for our anniversary. And she wrote back and said, please tell the Horn Family Community Congregation, I send love and thanks. So you have made Agnes Viking Warrior Princess's night. Thanks, everybody. Okay, let's run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, and get started with Rick, Billable Rick, in L.A.
On your way to work. There's a rook.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Rick. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I took the day off. I'm sort of semi-working from home, at least that's what I said. I probably only billed about an hour or two, but, you know, hey, whatever, you know?
Is there a concert to be attended or something?
No, I've got a date with a nice young lady, and I've got about probably an hour and a half of driving to do to get there, and there's a good chance that we'll also do something, you know, like could be with her all weekend, who knows, you know, one of those deals, Bob.
Wonderful. You are quite the Casanova.
Well, no, I'm not. I totally screwed up that date with the University of Iowa graduate and lady from Chicago. And I don't need to go into any gory details, but suffice it to say, the topic of dead relatives, however relevant to your life story, is not a good way to start a first date. So, you know, what can I say, Bob?
That's intriguing as hell, I'll say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, my story is when I was, I think I got into it because when I was a freshman in college, my father had a third time recurrence of cancer and this time died from it after having battled it for maybe, I don't know, 7-8 years. And so that's why I was only at Northwestern for 2 years, because I had to, you know, pay my own way. And so that's part of my story that, look, I obviously didn't do it all on my own. Okay, I'm like what Republicans say, but you know, it was hard. I had to work through college and transfer to the University of Iowa to finish out my education because I knew I'd be going to grad school. So I had to kind of marshal my funds. And
if only you'd been Paul Ryan.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And you know, I said that my dad was only 45 when he died, which is true. I think I hit a raw nerve because her dad just died like the year before, and she lost her best friend the year before. So, I mean, just not a real empathetic person either. So, you know, I don't need that in my life at this point in time, you know, at this point in my life. I mean, just I'll give you an example. One of her best friends was visiting from, I guess, San Bernardino, which is about, you know, a 2-hour drive from where she lived, the night before, and she was telling me how she couldn't wait to get rid of her because all she talked about for 3.5 hours was the experience she was having in rehab. You know, she was an alcoholic and she was recovering. She said, you know, by the time she was done talking about that, I was ready to have a drink myself. So, you know.
Well, I mentioned that my anniversary with Agnes is coming up on Monday.
Congratulations, by and the way. How many years?
24.
24, wow.
And you know what that means?
Yeah.
And this is the other side of that coin. That's 24 years of not having to date.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's nice.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, Rick, being in the dating pool at 54 years old. I don't ever want to be.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Showing results for what?
Oops. I don't need to show results here on the program here. Let me turn this off here. You know, it is what it is. That's a trite expression. But, you know, I've had some interesting experiences, let's just say, you know. I talked last night to a... for about this is a different lady than the one I'm seeing tonight. We're gonna go. We're gonna go to her place. She wants to go and do a Korean barbecue, and then after that, you know, we're gonna go back to her place and watch La La Land.
So,
I know.
Ricky Studd.
Hey, what can I say?
Check him, man.
Well, Lala, you're gonna be taking one for the team with Lala Land.
I know. She's a ballroom dancer. She swims every day. She's a, I think she's a Chinese lady, a Chinese-American lady, from what I can tell. But very funny. Very, very bubbly, which is good, you know?
Bubbly is good.
Yeah, but anyway, the point of my story was last night I had to, I didn't talk to her till probably 11:30 because I was on the phone talking to a singer, entertainer from Las Vegas who's also on the same website dating.
Double dipping. You go, man.
Well, you know, and she was kind of telling me she's been, singing for 50 years now. She sang with Sinatra when she was, a five-year-old. She knew Don Rickles, you know, that kind of thing. Let me reject that for a second here. So,
how old are you, Rick?
I'm 54.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, this woman, I'll just use, everyone even use the initials, so I'll just, you know.
No, let's keep things nice and anonymous.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, she's going to be moving back to L.A. She wrote a 600-page book. And she's also a photojournalist, as well as being a singer / comedian. So it's a real unique show she has. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, are any of these women Trump supporters by chance?
I don't know.
I would think that would be an early weed out, Rick. I mean, geez.
Well, you know, it's funny because one of these ladies was, you know, she made it very clear that, you know, no libtards need apply and so forth and so on. I said, okay, I'm just going to write something to her. I'll just be real nice. And so she responded to me. And then I sort of did a sociological experiment and said, okay, she's obviously a Trump supporter. So I'm going to throw a few pussy jokes in there. In this, you know, dialogue and see.
Dude, you're going to get thrown off the dating site.
No. She responded a day or two later. I basically said, look, sorry, I overdid it. You know, one of the jokes had to do with Kim and Khloe Kardashian showering together. And, you know, the punchline is that I got to read this to you. This is a good one. Okay. But anyway, I mean, I thought for sure that she would be so insulted by my over the top thing that she would never respond to me. And then a couple of days later, I realized, okay, Rick, you were a little sleep deprived that day and a little bit over the top. You should probably, you know, say something to her, you know. And so I did. And she did. You know, I said, hey, it might have been a little over the top. I wanted to be careful not to apologize because Republicans hate to apologize, you know. And it's a sign of weakness. So I just said, oh, it might have been over the top a little bit. I won't tell you any more, quote, jokes for a while. Something like that, you know? And let me just read one here. It's called Keeping Up in the Shower instead of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No. Spare us the jokes, please. Okay.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I value the not getting hate mail over your jokes, okay?
Okay. Okay, well, how about just not even one? Okay, not even one. Okay.
No, not even a punchline. I mean, wrecked him, damn near killed him. Okay, we're done now.
So I guess the sociological experiment was a success. It's like, I think I did prove that, you know, right-wing women really don't mind to have their you-know-what scrapped.
No.
Yeah, you got a sample of one there.
I know, Bob. I know. I'm being silly.
You got very Midwestern there with your I knows, Rick. You sounded like you were just stepping right out of Iowa City.
Oh my God! Well, there you go. I did go to school there.
That's like saying, "Oh, white people like mayonnaise." Come on, man! Don't box us in.
You like mayonnaise, Steve?
Don't we?
Do you like mayonnaise, Steve?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay,
do.
Shut up.
Stop. Hey, Bob, stop telling us how to eat mayonnaise, okay?
Yeah, at least I'm honest, you know.
Stop telling us how to eat mayonnaise, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
I saw on Plenty of Fish, there was a woman who said, if you voted for Trump, don't bother messaging me or something like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
That one I would probably obey. Well, I don't know, maybe not, you know, just to be like a, you know, contrarian, right?
Right.
So, yeah, you guys, you would have loved the keeping up with the, you know, showering with the Kardashians. That would have been great, Bob. Oh, well, never mind.
Off air, Rick.
That'll have to be off air. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, she actually, I guess she lives in a secured community, so I'm going to have to, like, have her phone number and the address when I pull up. I guess there'll be a guard or something, you know? So, she's a financial consultant out, like, you know, in Diamond Bar, which is, like, you know, near the 5 7/8, where the 5 7/8 meets the 2 1/4, you know, way out there.
Well, by the way, you are engendering some sympathy, okay? I just got a note from Kitty in Boston.
Uh-huh.
Subject line, breaking the ice with dead relatives.
Oh, okay.
Tell Rick that his story didn't sound so bad. I once sat next to a guy in a cafe who was obviously on a first date and overheard him tell the horrified lady all about his previous wife's suicide. Yikes.
Oh, God.
Get me out of here. Signed, Kitty in Boston.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. That's horrible. Well, you know.
Yeah, let me tell you about, I mean, there's all kinds of, there are more ways for blind dates to go wrong than right. You know, let me tell
you,
from either side, you know, let me tell you about my clown marionette collection, or you know, here's an icebreaker. Let's go watch Blue Velvet.
That's definitely a good one. But you know, the problem was, Bob, it was like Murphy's Law, man. I was like, I thought she was interested in sports because we were both from Chicago. Okay, so I picked a meetup spot as a sports bar, which I thought was an upscale sports bar compared to the one I go to, which is a hole in the wall. Okay, you know, so she criticized me about that, like, after the fact. And I was also 10 minutes late, which didn't help, okay? And she had, like, a stomachache, so she was drinking seltzer water and limes all the time. And another thing is, because she got there first, she sat at the bar instead of sitting in one of the nice couches, you know?
Yeah.
Adjoining the bar where you could kind of get a little bit, you know, acquainted with each other, let us say, if things go well, you know? And, you know, that's kind of what I had in mind in picking the spot, you know, like, oh, we'll just kind of hang out on the, you know, sofa and just be relaxed and what have you. And, you know, so, you know, just one of those total foobar situations, you know. And I'll have to share the text that she sent when I tried to, you know, ask her to give me a second chance. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? No way. You know,
you're getting some responses. I got a note from Michael in Madison. Subject line, stop telling us how to use dating sites, Bob. Followed by, oh, and also stop telling us what sample sizes are necessary for our sociological experiments, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
That's a long cowbell, okay? Meanwhile, for fans of The Expanse, Paul in Seattle says, proto-molecule Republicans.
Oh.
I'm listening to last night's podcast right now. The Republicans are all infected with the proto-molecule. It's time to call the DSHS hotline so they can send in the Rosinante and wipe them out.
Wow.
Paul says, I'll drop $10 in the horn collection plate to help finance the mission.
That's great. Well, you all keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm going to cut out in a little bit here. I'll kill myself before leaving, okay? I
right now, if I leave
find
it,
another,
right now, I'll get there right at 6, which is the time I'm supposed to be there.
Find another way to express that. Stop telling us how to express ourselves, Bob. Oh, it's okay. It's a thing tonight. It's going to be one of those. Matt in San Francisco. Subject line: stop.
Rick, go get him, stud.
Stop telling me. Stop telling me. hey. No. This is a good. No, this is a good one. Stop telling me how straight people date, Bob.
Oh, geez, that's funny. Oh man, that is funny. That is funny.
Well, there's this question coming from Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steve in New York. Is it me, or does Rick not know to quit while he's still ahead, to the extent that he's ahead? There's a little lawyering going on. You know, you're a lawyer, he's a lawyer. There's a little lawyer going on in there. Does Rick not know to quit when he's ahead, to the extent that he's ahead? You know, that reminds me of the ubiquitous including but not limited to.
Or the famous one question too many, right?
Yeah.
When you've won the case, you basically snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Right, ma'am. You positively identified my client as the person who robbed you when you were clerking at the convenience store, and yet you've also told me here, as we've had our little discussion, that you didn't see him for more than 10 seconds. Having not seen him for more than 10 seconds, how can you tell the jury that my client is the person who robbed you? And the witness responds, because he's the only person in my life who's ever put a gun in my face.
Is that a real?
That's good.
Is that a real story?
That's
Bob?
That's real. That happened.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised. There's some very, very stupid attorneys out there. I mean, that have no common sense. Very smart intellectually, no common sense. So, you know, I guess that's what happened last Friday, you know, with me, or Thursday, whatever day it was.
Now this one's apocryphal, but I've heard it a million times. The lawyer who had the medical examiner on the stand and said, when you saw the victim, you claimed that they did not have a brain. That's true. Doctor, can a human being live without a brain? Well, I see you apparently got through law school.
Bob, aren't you a lawyer?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I went to law school, but I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, everyone, you have a great weekend, okay? And I will be in touch with you guys later, okay?
I'll just listen
until I leave, okay?
You know, good luck, I think.
Have a good night, Rick.
I don't think I need any luck at this point.
Don't forget the Tic Tacs.
No, none of that.
Yeah, with last week's fiasco, you might need some luck, hon.
Well, I have a dozen red roses. And
roses on date one?
Good God, that's overkill, brother.
Nah, it's
she's
okay.
She's liable to think you're a serial killer.
All right, she's going to run like hell, man.
No, she won't. She came on very strong, actually. So.
All right, then.
Yeah, she basically said, look, on her profile, she said, look, I'm not going to date anybody who's not going to, like, set up, you know, plans like right away when they, you know, when they first talk to me, you know, plans right away.
You may end up in the velvet rope. So keep us informed.
I will. You all take care. Okay.
All right. You too, brother. You too. Have a good time.
Later, Rick.
Carry on. All right. See ya.
Meanwhile, I got a note from James. This subject line: I'm with Rick. Every woman who votes for Trump deserves at the very least to be asked about the pussy grab. I'm currently doing backs and forth with a troll who wants to regale me with stories of illegal rapist murderers. I told her that I presumed that she must prefer the pussy grab by the old white self-described molester to any brown guy. A lot of sociology taking place out there. A lot of sociology. Meanwhile, from Stockton Larry in the chat room, Bob, stop telling me how to stop telling me. Well, that's Zen. let's see. So the adventures of Rick have taken up the first, something like the first half hour of Friday on the Front Porch, or the first 20 minutes or so. But we've got several participants. Good evening, Jules. How are you?
Good evening. I can actually one-up Rick's story.
Is it really a one-up or is it a one-down?
Oh, it's well. I went on a date, a first date.
This should be
good.
When
I was single. Okay.
Go ahead.
And this fellow, we went there and we sat at the restaurant. It was an Italian restaurant, nice Italian restaurant. Sat there and he started describing how he has bipolar and schizophrenia and how his family do accept him, but they don't let him in the business because he was with a car dealership, a son of one of the car dealerships here, because he's too erratic and too undermanaged with his mental illnesses. So, yeah, that's not a good way to do it. And then I got to pay. I don't mind paying for my half on a first date. I don't mind paying, period, you know, but, you know, when it's like, oh, wait, I don't have any money on me, or I forgot my card, or I think it was I forgot my card at home. It's like, dude, yeah. Let me put it this way. It was a lunch date about 11, no, it was about noon, I guess, and I decided to start drinking at that time.
Yeah, you see him out the door and you head for the bar.
Oh, yeah. It's like, whoa. And he thought he was doing good. He was ready. He was all ready to up and.
Well, yeah, I mean that could
go home.
Yeah, that could become a thing over the course of the evening. Bad signs on blind dates. What's your favorite movie? Silence of the Lambs. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Just don't discuss your mental illnesses right offhand. You know, obviously you want to be honest, but that's a little bit too honest for a lunch date, for a first lunch date.
Yeah, that's definitely dinner. And, I mean, that's for the second date and dinner.
That's when
you go to the dinner date and you get stiffed when he orders the Chateaubriand with the lobster on the side.
Yeah, and you know it's Oh yeah, and it was quite interesting, you know, especially when he was talking about how his family had, you know, wouldn't let him be part of the business because I'm like, oh brother dear, yeah, I don't think I blame your family, but I don't think I'd be discussing this right now either. And he thought we were going to take a little trip home and have a little bit of fun afterwards at noon, and nah, I don't think so. He was talking about going out and, you know, smoking some dope, and I'm like, oh, brother B.
Dude, let's go self-medicate.
Yeah.
And then Jules, you need to be more careful.
Yeah, well, this was, you know, one of those prearranged things, so.
But Bob gets that.
Oh, but yeah. Without a doubt. Good evening, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
No, go ahead, Jules. I want to hear about the rest of your date experience. Please.
Oh, no. That was about the worst of it. You know, talking about.
So he didn't wind up standing outside your window with like a boombox on his shoulder or anything.
No, but I did have a guy that I dated for a while that would come up and put his business card with little notes on the back of it.
Romantic. That's all I can say.
On my front door when I wasn't there. You know, if I happened to not be home when he stopped by, he just put one of his business cards with a little note on the back. Not a very smart thing to do, actually, but...
Well, it depends on what the note on the back was.
Let's just put it this way. It wasn't a very smart thing to do. He was supposed to be separated from his wife at the time, and
wasn't.
Well, I don't think he really was. Let's leave it at that.
He was juggling, huh?
He was something. He was interesting fellow.
So, when's the last time you called him?
Oh no.
And see, was it last night that I used the Amazing Rhythm Aces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. One of my favorite songs, Third Rate Romance.
Yeah, that one and Lipstick Traces. I love that one, too.
And they got one called Amazing Grace. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's not the gospel one, but that's a good one, too.
No, I haven't heard that one. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Speaking of, well, I guess you wouldn't say that he's on the dating scene again because he's involved with a woman who is soon to bear him a child and probably lives in a pit. But Alex Jones, lost his custody fight.
Can't imagine why.
Was the judge even able to keep a straight face? That's all I wanted.
What a more stable dad. I mean, what was he thinking?
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Let's be real here, you know?
And
so, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to point out a couple of things. He lost his custody fight, and there has been no subsequent statement that I'm aware of. It took the jury 9.5 hours of deliberation to reach a verdict.
What the hell?
Should have took them 10 minutes.
No doubt.
I didn't know that you can take a custody case to trial.
It's Texas. Forget it, Jake. It's Texas.
John.
No. I know John.
I'm sorry.
That's the line from Chinatown. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Wait a second.
Bob, we hadn't heard from Duncan. I mean, what's he ghosting tonight? Or?
I don't know. Here's the original line, John.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
If you've never seen Chinatown, you kind of owe it to yourself. Sparky, are you ghosting or what? Maybe he's ghosting.
He just said in the chat room that he's back, and usually he leads off the show, so.
Well, right, but he sent me a note and told me to go straight to Rick. So,
yeah. Oh, he's got other things to do. I think I hear him.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay, that's the rat.
There you are.
This new headset is got. I gotta hit the button right on it to turn it back on.
Oh, I want to hear about the rat, bro. Go ahead, elaborate.
The rat?
Yeah.
Don't buy Victor plastic traps.
Did you get it at the dollar store?
No, I went and saw a buddy of mine last weekend, and he gave me his plastic Victor rat trap. It's got the big paddle on it with the holes in it. And first, I put the peanut butter and everything on there. I smeared it around the paddle. Well, somehow he set the damn trap off and licked all the peanut butter off. Then I talked to Bob the other night, and he told me to use bacon fat. So I put bacon fat on there. In the center, there's a little hole, and I thought he'll have to reach in there. He set it off again. He got all the bacon fat.
It's a smart rat.
So I don't know. I've got my other traps. He's avoiding the electric shock chamber.
Yeah, he can probably. I mean, you know, you're the electrician, Sparky. He can probably hear the subsonic hum.
So we had to change his name.
It worked with a mouse in the laundry room. We got the mouse first night, man. Judy told me the mouse in the laundry room, put it out there and come out the next morning. Boom, dead mouse in the electric trap.
Nice. Didn't we have to change his name, Duncan?
Yeah, he's
Danny
a she.
Yep.
Donnie's out wandering around knocking up other rats.
To give you more hours.
You want to hear about the computer, though?
Oh, yeah. Please.
When the man cave computer went on the Fritz last week after it wouldn't update, and then it kept trying to update. Every time you shut it down, and then it failed to update. Well, then I went out there last Friday, turned it on, nothing. I'm just black screen of death. So I spent all late Friday night. I was on the horn with Lottie, the resident genius, supposedly, of the Horn family. We couldn't think of anything. So I got pissed off. I ordered a new computer. And then I got to thinking, and I went to YouTube and watched a couple more videos and found this way. So I went in and I tried it. Video told me start the computer. When the Windows, what had happened is the Windows screen had come up. And then, as soon as that screen comes up, you press and hold the start button down and turn it back off again. And you do that 3 times. And then on the 3rd time, let it run and it'll come up. The screen pops up and says repair computer. So I clicked on that and I went to they give you an option. And so what I did is I reset the computer back to, what it does is it wipes out all your add-on programs off, but it saves your files and it resets Windows 10. It came right back up after about an hour or so doing its thing. And it's worked ever since. So now I got this brand new Lenovo computer, wireless computer with 8 gigs of RAM and a 1 terabyte hard drive, sitting in the living room hooked to the big screen TV, and it works great. So then I had to go out and get a wireless keyboard for it now so we can sit in the recliner and work the computer and use the big screen TV.
Oh, truly, you have moved into you are a spacing guild master now. Mm-hmm. When you've got the 55 inch monitor, and you're in the Barca lounger with the wireless keyboard and the wireless mouse. Yep, you're there.
Let's turn on the camera real quick. And you see me move in.
Oh, wait a minute.
I got a rolling old typewriter stand that my mom had. It's real old, and it has wheels on it. I can roll in and out.
Very nice, and I like the clock with the pendulum too.
Yeah, there's the wireless keyboard, and it's got a mouse right on it. I mean, it's got a mouse pad.
Oh, nice. So you don't there's no mouse to lose.
No, but I got a wireless mouse too. I'm using on this. Because I'm not a big laptop person, but my wife is, so I bought it for her so she can sit in the recliner and do her thing.
Nice.
And I got a lap cushion, a lap tray with a cushion on it to use. So that's Sparky on the HDTV. So this is my 3rd location.
Yeah, right, you folded space to 3 separate locations. That's why you made it up to Guild Master.
Mm-hmm. So I give it a chance today because I couldn't stand outside it today. The wind's blowing so bad, and the pasture, he hasn't baled the grass is so long out there. It's playing hell with my allergies. Yeah, I won't be the same on a windy day until he bales it.
So he hasn't mowed yet? I mean, if he hadn't baled, he hasn't mowed, right?
No, he hasn't run the thrasher through it yet and cut it down. It's getting close to time, though. He should do it any time now. Usually happens first week of May or so. And as soon as he gets the hay out of it, then the cows come back.
So you're plagued with allergies or you're plagued with cow shit? How quaint.
I'd rather be plagued with cow shit than that allergy.
Than allergies? I don't blame you.
From that pasture. I mean, because the grass is like 3 foot tall out there, maybe even taller. I mean, it looks like amber waves of grain when you go out there right now waving at you. And I know the stuff is just blowing off of it and right into me because my eyes start watering. My nose starts running.
And once again, the show has went to shit. Bob, save us, man.
Now, this one's on y'all. I do have a note going back to what Jules was talking about a minute ago. Steve in China said, subject line, dating mental. Anyone who reveals on a first date that they're both bipolar and schizophrenic is probably in the manic phase. But then a schizophrenic is liable to claim almost anything, convincingly. Maybe he was a secret maybe he was a secret psychiatrist and only testing.
Oh no, I don't think so.
And then with further advice, James writes in for Jules's friend. That's what hookers are for. So there's that.
Oh, that's bad. That is bad.
And
no friend. Definitely no friend. Didn't talk to him again after that.
And by the way, GK says, tell Sparky, 55-inch monitor, tell Sparky that's the only way to go. My computer, too, is hooked up to my big screen TV, and I love it. That sounds very intriguing. Very intriguing.
No, I'm getting used to it, but the only problem is if I go to the Horn chat room, I can hardly read what I type in the entry bar there because it's so small.
Right. Oh, and by the way, speaking of, well, not speaking of, but can anybody explain to me, and I'm about to be guilty of it, I realize I'm about to be guilty of it, but this kind of segues from the dating thing. So, this is from out in your neck of the woods, Jules. It's a Talibandiana story. Sorts. Aaron Moran, or Moran, passed away last week, 56 years old, cancer. And there has subsequently developed a feud between her husband and Scott Baio, her husband and her family, and Scott Baio and his family. And now, I attribute this entirely to Trump. This is the kind of cultural degradation that follows from having someone like Trump, drive the cultural tone of the country.
Right on, Bob.
Like I said, years and years and years of listening to Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, bemoaning a consensual sex act between two grown adults. And he said, oh, my friends, he's destroying the culture. You know, what shall we tell the children? Well, because we have a guy in the Oval Office who has made a career out of doing things like going on the Howard Stern show and talking about how the 90s were, and the risk of STDs in the 90s were his sexual Vietnam, and talking about sex with various people, and then, you know, the Access Hollywood tape and everything that went with it, and actually using the platform of a presidential debate. Have we forgotten this? Using the platform of a presidential debate to talk about the size of his penis.
His what?
His penis. His junk, his Johnson, his John Thomas, his dick.
His Cheeto.
The little Cheeto. Because of that, we now have arguments taking place between a living supporter of Donald Trump and the family of a dead child actress about the size of the Trump supporters and the adequacy of the Trump supporters' penis. Because that's really happening now.
I know. Scott Baio needs to be horsewhipped. Did you hear him on the Sid and Bernie show? Or
well, I made reference to it. I think maybe it was you were on your way back or something. But I don't know who Sid and Bernie are.
Follow John Imus. Sid was... he was the sportscaster for Imus, and Bernie was Imus's producer at one time. It was off and on. Used to be on O'Reilly Show until O'Reilly got fired. So,
well, okay, so that answers that question.
Yep.
I am not likely to ever hear either one of those people or anyone on their program. But, yeah, they had him on, and you know, he made some shitty comment. And then Aaron Moran's brother wrote back and said, yeah, you know, she told me that your relationship didn't go anywhere because, well, you know, to use the phrase that Keith Richards used, you've got a tiny todger. And now Mrs. Scott Baio is writing back. He's perfectly wonder. He's got, yeah, it's great.
This is what we've devolved to.
And I'm thinking, you know, good the apocalypse, the, between that and the fire festival stuff, you know, we're pretty much a day or so away from the apocalypse. We just are.
Well, you know, North Korea fired one off an hour or two ago. Did you know that, Bob?
It fizzled again.
It fizzled, yeah.
But funny how none of their missiles work.
What concerns me is eventually, I fear they're going to get it right, eventually.
Well, they're
Steve,
made in Korea.
It's not,
what do you expect?
No. Now, come on, Jules. just because Samsung had that little problem with the Note 7 doesn't mean everything blows up in Korea.
Obviously not.
But the thing is, I can't help wondering, and certainly this cannot be attributed to anything the current administration is doing, but I can't help wondering if it's not like you run up and light the fuse on one of these things, okay? That's all I'm saying. But they
like
can't...
Wally Coyote.
They can't seem to... Okay, that's another possibility. Kim Jong Crazy Pants is ordering all his shit from Acme. That could be.
Light fuse here.
But I can't help wondering, other countries managed to successfully do this. They successfully have tested a couple or three nuclear devices, but they can't get a missile to work? I'm thinking somewhere along the way, somebody there in the R&D department in Pyongyang mistakenly opened an email from a Nigerian princess and all that goes with it.
So it could be a false flag operation.
No, it's not false flag. It's just cyber warfare. It's cyber warfare. And of course, we would never say anything like that because we don't. We just want the world to think that, you know, they're a bunch of fuck ups. But between that, you know, no, between the Aaron Moran thing and Scott Baio, you know, dick, small, and this fire festival thing. Now, I'm not kidding. You got to go to the fire festival hashtag and just read and chuckle. There was a great quote from this one kid who said, it was supposed to be good for, like, high-class youth. And then they get there, and it's refugee tents and two slices of bread with two pieces of prison cheese and a little scattering of lettuce with no dressing. That was my favorite part. No dressing.
There's no way to link that in your webpage, is it, Bob?
No, I mean, you could even open a browser and put, you know, hashtag FYRE festival. You'll get there.
All right, 10-4.
It is so worth it.
Go ahead, Duncan.
Can I let you in on a secret?
Sure.
We had an airplane back in the 70s that I worked on. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yes.
It could take over the guidance system on a SAM missile fired from North Vietnam, turn it around, and shoot it back at them.
Well, see, that's kind of what I'm, yeah. Let me just share some of these Fyre Festival comments because they're so much fun. We can't have Fyre Festival refugees entering this country until we figure out what the hell is going on. I cannot explain how or why the bros running this festival ignored every warning sign they were given along the way. The writing was on the wall. I saw it firsthand 6 weeks ago. They overlooked so many basic things, and baby, they forgot to make me sign a non-disclosure agreement. And it goes on and on and on. Let's see. The only music at Fyre Festival is a chorus of rich white women with their biggest hit, I Demand to Speak with the Manager. And let's see. Rich people resorted to looting, fights, fires, and stealing after just 2 days, yet the poor, homeless, and hungry are animals. Right. At Fyre Festival, all under control, killed feral dog, eating it with three Insta models. One says tastes like chicken. She's not vegan anymore. And the whole thing is just turning into a mockery of wealth privilege. And there are... let's see. Hold on here. My thoughts and prayers are with all the inconvenient, stranded white college kids in the Bahamas right now. Hashtag Fyre Festival, hashtag never forget. The Fyre Festival is the millennial concert version of MAGA. You're promised a bunch of greatness, then find out there was no actual plan. Out here reporting live from Fyre Festival, someone just blew into a conch shell and is now the leader. That's the one that got me. We call him Ruff.
Well, I saw one where Wilson the volleyball was the new leader.
Yeah, this is a little bit tangential, but it's still good for those who, even juggalos are looking at Fyre Festival and like, how uncivilized. One person said, I had no clue what Fyre Festival was 4 minutes ago. Now it's my favorite 2017 trending story. Just sitting at my desk at my low wage job, following along. The Fyre Festival is a combo of the Hunger Games and Lord of the Flies. LOF is more the actual circumstance, while HG is we enjoy watching. And then when you consider what... impossible to think that taxes are too high after checking out the Fyre Festival hashtag. Can I have the vacation the Fyre Festival people are fleeing from? I'd be fine camping on a private island and not watching Blink 182.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't watch TV anyway, so fuck it. I'd be happy on a deserted island.
Well, you know, water. You'd like to have water.
Water would be nice, but I mean, surely, you know, you got to have one with okay, I have to be dropped off on a deserted island with water, okay, and some sort of food source, and I'll be happy. I don't care if I have to haunt it myself. I'll do that.
And then Reddit, there was a Reddit about it too. We ran out of checks. Already militias have formed and claimed the south side of the island and began ritualistically sacrificing people to desensitize us to the massacre. I participated in it to save my own life. They were watching me, and I ended up having to eat the stomach and lungs of a human being. Don't send help. God has forsaken us. Response, it's okay, we'll nuke you from orbit. Another response, go north. Find the one who calls himself Ralph of the Conch.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's gorgeous. Kendall Jenner gonna hand these kids a Pepsi and let them know it's gonna be all right. Because, see, that's the best part of this. They got Kendall Jenner on board to sucker all these rich kids into going to this thing. She's nowhere to be seen. Blink-182 is nowhere to be seen. Ja Rule is nowhere to be seen. and they're out their money, and they signed on the dotted line, and the contractual document said no refunds. If you haven't traded your iPhone for a spear, may the odds be ever in your favor. And where is Watch Fyre Festival just be a social experiment to get the rich to know what it feels to be a refugee. And this one's a dandy, too. It's messed up what happened at Fyre Festival, but I have a festival coming up for only $8,000 that's being headlined by Tupac and Biggie. DM for info. And I think this probably takes the cake. Most of us only dream of putting the wealthy in a gulag. Comrade Ja has actually gone and done it. I know trust fund babies are spending $425 on muddy jeans, but how did you let Ja Rule talk you onto an island? So, but there is something, I don't know, there's something about it that just makes you think, well, there's the more dollars than cents argument. But really, this is sort of the culmination of the Kardashian trend. To what extent, and I'm going to have to ask, because look, I realize that my musical culture relevance ended with like the breakup of REO Speedwagon or something.
Oh my, that's pretty bad.
Well, yeah. And I had never heard of this until this afternoon, and I haven't been able to stop laughing all day. But I understand advertising, and I understand product endorsements, but I don't understand the Kardashian factor. I've never seen that program. I've only seen pictures of people. I saw a story the other day where Caitlyn Jenner is saying that only Donald Trump can lead us to greatness, recognizing that that was a giant leap backwards for the entire trans community. I'm totally lost on this idea that some, because like, okay, you know, you put Joe Namath, wow, that's really deep. That's real time machine stuff. You know, you put Michael Jordan on, look, you put LeBron James on a box of Wheaties. I mean, that's a longstanding tradition, right? And you know, it's a product endorsement. It's supposed to help sell the product. You know, sneaker contracts. Okay. Do we call them sneakers anymore even? I understand all that. But
everybody's got their own line now, Bob.
Well, that's true, too. But there was a word that I mentioned it to Sandra on Twitter earlier today. I learned a new word today. In order to promote this disaster, they hired, and this is the word, influencers. And as a practitioner of the art of word knowing, that rocked me back on my heels for a minute. Not endorsers, not promoters. But in the age of social media, influencers. You know, kind of like how if Kim Kardashian tweeted, and I'm just making stuff up, tweeted that, oh, you know, Pope Francis had endorsed Donald Trump back before the election. It would suddenly take on the patina of truth and fly around the world before the truth could get its pants on. I don't fully comprehend that. It's not promotion because promotion, and it's not endorsement because endorsement and promotion, those are obvious things. Do you see, you know, paid endorsement, paid promotion. Everybody knows that when the athlete or the celebrity shows up in a commercial for, that they have been paid to say whatever it is they are saying. If I understand the concept of influencer, however, then the transaction and the relationship isn't quite so transparent. It is downright, in fact, opaque. So, like what happened with this thing in the Bahamas was that for weeks beforehand, there were these photos that were just sort of bogarted from here and there of smoking hot women in bathing suits with that, you know, crystal blue water of the Caribbean behind them and things like, can't wait for Fyre Festival. It's going to be awesome. Retweet, 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 you know, Instagram, Instagram, Instagram. And the thing builds its own weight without actually having to have any relationship to reality.
You know, what's sad is that the fact that that happens is, you know, we've had these tremendous marches, which is absolutely wonderful. But unfortunately, all too many of those people are, you know, standing up and doing something because they get a message on Facebook or they see something on Twitter. Oh, this sounds like fun. Let's go do it. You know, this is the popular thing to do without really having a clue as to what they're really doing it for or what it's about. And, you know, I'm grateful for the people that go out and are able to march like that. But, you know, when we have such an ignorant population that isn't really getting a whole lot of information about what they're doing or don't even care as long as it's the hip thing to do.
Right. And in this case, Jules, in this case, they were parting with anywhere between $1,200 and $250,000. And it got you like chartered airfare from Miami to Exuma. And then there were video clips of people being locked, of chains being put on the door in the airport in the Bahamas. And people being locked in. I mean, it. And yeah, there's Schadenfreude by the metric ton in this. Because people just assumed that because Kendall Jenner and some other woman that puts pictures of herself in various states of scanty dress on Instagram said, it's going to be so hot. And what? There were hundreds, if not thousands of people who were like, I mean, it's the basic impulse that goes with having women in bikinis next to automobiles in ads or the Hardee's ads with the scantily dressed woman having some hamburger juice drip down her cleavage, you know. Wow, if I spend $1,200, I might meet her and Kendall might dig me.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that it?
Unfortunately, in all too many cases, it really is. And not to mention that we're bombarded by marketing. You know, you watch TV. Well, I don't watch TV, but I know there are ads on TV where there's constant marketing employees. And a lot of them do use subliminal messages to get through. You know, repetitiveness, that is the biggest one. Repeat, 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 repeat. And it shows that we're just dumbing down our population with a lot of this stuff.
Well, it doesn't bode well. Because
no,
somewhere along the way, I kind of looked up and went, oh, fuck, these are the people who are going to be taking care of us in the nursing home. Well, I mean, not these people, because they're rich, but But I want to check my biases, and I want to check any prejudices that may be involved here, because obviously not everybody is that stupid.
No, not everyone is.
Can we say that that privileged wealth can be that stupid?
Make people very irresponsible and lead them to not educating themselves. Yeah, that's true. But like with the election, how many people got their news from Facebook or Twitter? And with the with the way they do the news, you know, they push it, and people have the news that their friends get. They have the news that these programs want, instead of, you know, actual news. You know, you talk about fake news, and it's just outrageous how much of this gets pushed through, because the logarithms and stuff are feeding it in. You know, your friends are talking about this. Even if you aren't interested in it, you're still going to get, you know, information about it. And it's positively insane. And people only read what they are getting, you know, from those social media sites. They're not investigating further or looking into other, you know, other possibilities when it comes to a lot of this stuff. So it makes it like I said, dumbing down. We have really, really done. Computers are great. Social media can be great. But when people aren't going beyond that, when people are so addicted to it that they can't stop, it really, really causes problems. It means that they're not getting, you know, the information that they should be getting. They're getting, you know, whatever the Kardashians are, you know. I honestly had never heard of the Kardashians until 6 months ago, because I don't tune into that shit.
Well, I don't either, and for the longest time I didn't have TV, and I've got it now, and I watch it on my tablet. But, you know, I'm still not
thank you
at all interested in finding out who they're or what they're or why they're. No.
Well, would we have ever heard about the Kardashians if it hadn't been for O.J. Simpson?
I guess that's what that's where the linkage begins, isn't it, Sparky?
Yeah, I mean, I remember that well, watching the white Bronco. And
yes, Duncan's right on. We would not have heard of them, but for the OJ thing.
I was in Las Vegas going to a union train-the-trainer class at the local union hall there, for to give apprenticeship tests, and when they announced the verdict, we came out of the classrooms, everybody, and they had a TV, and they had this little quad area at the training center there. They rolled a TV out there so everybody could watch it when the verdict came out, and I'll never forget that. I thought, you guys got to be kidding me. We're stopping the class to do this.
By the way, going back into your Air Force past, you've got a question coming in from Clarence, Sparky. He wants to know, were you stationed at Utapau Airfield in Thailand at all?
Yep.
Well, Clarence says, I was a security policeman at Utapau 7273. I guarded B-52s, KC-135s, and U-2s. I also guarded the SR-71 when it came through. If Sparky was there, we probably crossed paths, because I manned all the entry control points on the flight line.
No, when that SR-71 landed at Utapau, when he was there, I was in Okinawa.
But were you at Utapau at all in 72, 73?
No, I was there 73, 74.
Okay, so 73 is one of the years he mentions. So you may well have crossed paths with Clarence.
I got there August 73, 10 days after they quit bombing Cambodia.
Okay, that probably narrows it down for Clarence.
Yeah, if he was there, no, when they stopped bombing. Because they weren't flying planes off every hour on the hour, 24 hours a day then.
I've got and I want to check in with some other members of the group too, but I got another note in from Steve in China. Subject line: Love Strange. Wouldn't it be hilarious if North Korea actually managed to get the next missile up and had the nuke go off in a low altitude air burst right above Pyongyang? Thoughts like these are the only ones that keep me going nowadays.
And it could happen.
Steve also pointed out on South Beach, the People's Beach. On the other hand, while the moneyed geeks are invading the Bahamas, Miami and South Beach are left open for real people. There are some advantages to be had in the combination of wealth and bad taste. Yeah, but we're going to let them come home, Steve. See, that's the thing. And like I said, we haven't heard anything from John in Central PA. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
What are you doing, man? What's up?
Well, the orange pile of shit's coming to my neck of the woods tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a huge Make America Great Again rally, right?
Yeah, he's going to be in Nuremberg. I mean, Harrisburg.
Yeah.
Huge.
And you've got you've got your tickets already, right?
Right. Well, actually, there was a movement that I heard that people that are like part of the resistance are going to try to reserve a bunch of tickets and just, you know, not go or go to protest. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of people that were going to get together and do that.
I don't think they'll even have. He's not. He went down to the belly of the beast and had a big Clavering rally in Nashville, and he couldn't fill the arena.
Oh, I didn't know that. He'll tell you that it was overflowing with people.
It's huge. It's huge. Just like my hands. Yeah, they're huge.
Well, the thing is, people don't want to get riled up around. Well, some people do, but you know, this is really weird for somebody, for a president to be holding rallies like this. I mean, I know Obama did one like in June of 2009, didn't he? Something like that. I kind of remember. I think it was to push the healthcare bill or something. But and there's just something very off about that. I don't know why people. I try to look at some of my friends who voted for Trump, and I just want to ask them like, what do you think about like you're this guy that you voted for that he is worried about doing rallies and stuff, you know, when in his first year and calling it a campaign rally, and the for-profit media, all those stupid, you know, sorry sons of bitches, they all say, just act like it's a normal thing. Like, yeah, Trump's going to be in wherever today doing a campaign rally. And they never say in his first year or something, you know, like just, I don't know. The media has been obviously so disappointing in all this, and they're going to get.
Obama went around the country giving speeches, but the difference is there's no signs, there's no Obama T-shirts, nothing like that.
And you know, when he was promoting the Affordable Care Act, he was also not he had also not filed the papers yet for Obama Biden 2012. See, this is going to be officially a campaign rally. They all are.
Yeah. That's what's – and, you know, they always say the administration is calling it a campaign rally too sometimes, I hear. But the media never expresses that fact that this – I mean, this isn't – I mean, people need to be more alarmed by this. This is really – like, for a guy to be doing this is scary to me. It's like, okay, you know – you got to be president.
Yeah, but see, the for-profit media will cover this, and they'll cover it as something normal. That's where they're falling down in so many ways is the ongoing normalization of every bizarre, freaking abnormal thing that this guy does.
Right.
I mean, it could be happening right now. There's an interview with. With Pumpkin Spice Hitler on Fox this evening, and in that he is reported in advance to blame Barack Obama for all his problems with Mike Flynn.
Huh. Naturally.
Well, he has to have someone to blame. It can't be the fault of the person who actually did it.
Right, because blame can never fall on him. Oh, by the way, I got
personality.
Jules, I got a quick Indiana question for you.
Oh Lord, I don't know if I can answer. Go ahead.
Well, doesn't Indiana have the death penalty?
Yes, we do.
Then could you maybe explain to me how a guy? Well, it's a plea bargain. 20-year-old guy murders 3 people and commits an armed robbery. And mm-hmm. I'm no death penalty fan, but he gets a plea bargain that lets him serve 3 concurrent life sentences without benefit of parole. Jonathan Cruz did. He did this because he was inspired by the movie franchise, The Purge.
I have no idea.
He shot 3 people on the east and north sides of Indianapolis at random. And, of course, a lot of people have pointed out the sort of creepy racism that attends this franchise. And I don't have to tell anybody what color this guy is. Because if that had been a black dude, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong. If that had been a black dude in Indiana who randomly shot 3 people, they would be, they'd be throwing a party around the death house wherever the prison is in Indiana, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Klan would be marching in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It would be especially in Indianapolis, they'd have him strong. They probably wouldn't even go to trial. Hell, they'd just noose him and hang him.
Yeah, probably. Hey, Sparky, Sparky, we've got a little bit of further information in from Clarence. He says, I saw the last bombing mission take off. I was in a tower that day, August 15th. Talking about Cambodia.
Right, I got there August 25th.
So there was some overlap. Note coming in from Michael in Madison. Fire Festival equals Kanye, maybe. Michael says, I don't know why the reporting on this festival seems to be burying the lead. I could be completely wrong. Perhaps one of the hipper millennials in the Horn audience can correct me. But here's the thing. The headliner was not token rock band Blink-182, who are annoying as fuck, in my opinion, but at least had the sense to bail out. The headliner is or was, who knows anymore, the G-O-O-D music family. Stay with me here. The good music family. Stay with me here, and for the life of me, I can't figure out what precisely that means, and I've actually seen them randomly appear at a festival before. Good Music is Kanye West's personal record label. That much I know. So as best as I can tell, this is where I might need one of those Instagram millennials to help me out. Good Music Family is simply a way of saying various rappers will perform, one of which may or may not be Kanye West. That would mean these kids paid thousands of bucks to see, again, as the top-billed headliner, the possibility that Kanye might show up. That's just nuts. Even if things had gone as planned, that's kind of nuts. The media love to yap about Kanye, but I've seen no mention of him or his possible role in this debacle. Perhaps because media outlets don't know exactly who Good Music Family is either. My guess is Kanye will bail on this and just let Ja Rule and his dippy sister-in-law, half-sister-in-law, I don't know, take the blame. But please don't assume this reflects all millennials. Point taken, Michael. Point taken. Just the privileged, rich dipshits who are worthless and stupid regardless of generation. See, Kanye's good pal Trump, a septuagenarian, signed Michael. Yeah, and like I said, I want to be careful and you know not to generalize it, but damn, that is and I think Michael would agree. There is some just monumental stupid at work there.
Well, Bob, speaking of monumental stupid, do you recall the executive order that Trump signed around February 15th? And I grew up in Appalachia in the summertime, and there were folks that got, we called them crazy checks, okay? You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, otherwise known as Supplemental Security Income, SSI.
Right. Well, the sole reason for them to get the supplemental income, because they were deemed crazy. Well, Trump passed an executive order that's now going to allow them to get firearms.
Oh yeah.
Well, I want to be careful how we throw the word crazy around. I get your point, Steve. And Lord knows I've heard crazy check for years in West Virginia. Right. Yeah, well, you know, all you got to do is go and sign up and you can get your crazy check.
And I don't want to overstep either. That's why I'm running it by you, because maybe you could draw some clarity in on this, because it's freaking me out, you know.
Well, the NRA believes that people who have various forms of mental illness have the same right to keep an arm bears that the rest of us do. And wow, you know,
really?
Really. Yeah, check them out. The NRA says absolutely.
And who's that guy from Kansas, Sam
Brownback? Yeah.
I heard he even went so far as saying people that were institutionalized, once they're released, should be able to go and get a gun. I mean,
it's not him saying something should or shouldn't happen. It's what has already happened, Steve. There's a brand new law that goes into effect in July in Kansas that says firearms are allowed to be brought into the state's psychiatric hospitals.
And then we wonder why we have all these shootings that make no sense. I mean, we have so lost our way, and we need to rethink what the hell we're doing and get people in here that have some sense, or I don't see, you know, how we're going to have much of a future as a society if we keep going the path that we're on. And I don't mean to sound like Mr. Doom and Gloom either. I'm always upbeat and positive, but this is really scary. You know, it's scaring the hell out of me.
Well, you got to try not to have the hell scared out of you, Steve. I mean, it's one of those, you know, breathe moments.
Yeah.
We all know that the mentally ill people who are mentally ill don't go out and shoot people. It's people who are attached to.
I was about to say something very similar. The rates of violent crime as committed by people who are mentally ill is no higher, and perhaps actually lower, than the rates of violent crime as perpetrated by good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, homosexuals.
So my fears are not warranted then.
Well, I'm not saying they're not warranted, but you've got. I guess what I'm saying is you've got a hell of a lot more to worry about in just your average white guy with a gun, because the problem is
right,
that the problem is that. You cannot, as I've said so many times before, a person who is exercising their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is a lawful gun owner until they decide to pull the trigger. And there is no way of knowing how or when that will happen.
average white guy sees, you know, his girlfriend screwing around three different dudes on him, is that going to set him off?
Who knows? May not even have to be anything that dramatic.
Right. And it may not have to be white either. I don't mean to drag race into this. I mean...
Well, most of the people who commit these crimes are.
They are. Yep. That's true.
And sometimes, Steve, they don't even have to have a gun. Take, for instance, the 19-year-old in Kentucky today. Former student at nobody laugh, it's an old and venerable institution. Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky.
Bob, can you post a link of this anywhere? I can Google it if you can.
Maybe I can put it in the chat room.
But go ahead.
There it is in the chat room.
All right, raw story. Okay, got it.
The story comes from the Washington Times, but I saw the story earlier today from another source. Mitchell W. Adkins of Cincinnati, Ohio, strolled into Jazzman's Cafe today on the Transylvania campus.
He looks crazy. Look at him.
Had a machete and a bag full of knives. Pulled out the machete and attacked a female student. Then he went around the room asking women, "You Republican or a Democrat?" "I'm a Republican." "Okay, you're safe."
Well, I was going to say, the only time that people are deemed crazy when they go out for a shooting like that is if they're a white boy.
Right.
It gives them an excuse. They can't be a terrorist. They can't be someone that's actually bad. It has to be due to something else.
Right.
It's amazing how even the media falls into that yammer yammer. I mean, it's positively insane.
And he comes blazing into the cafe, slams the machete down on a table, and says, "The day of reckoning has come."
Jesus, religion truly is evil. Isn't it?
Well, this isn't religion. This is politics, Steve.
Well, they all kind of intertwine, though, don't they?
Well, in this case, Day of Reckoning doesn't always have to be religious.
You said yourself that he said, "Are you a Christian or not?" And if you're not...
No, he didn't say, "Are you a Christian?"
Okay.
He said, "Are you a Republican or a Democrat?"
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But it could almost be a synonymous statement that he's asking there.
And he's being evaluated for self-inflicted injuries.
Wow.
And, you know, gosh. Now, the headline at Raw Story says, "Terrorized Kentucky students with machete after complaining about campus mockery of conservatives."
I see it. Yep.
There's nothing in the story about that, but I'm going to see if I can find any more.
And he looks crazy, too. I mean, just you can usually look at somebody's eyes and see crazy, you know. And I'm not trying to armchair diagnose, but wouldn't you agree with that?
I don't see any more crazy. I mean, you know what he looks like to me? He looks like a whole bunch of the kids that I see around here that are the same age.
He looks like a Marine recruit to me.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring us all down. Let's talk about...
No. You're not bringing anybody down. I'm just curious about this claim that... Well, I mean, we know if he was singling out people who were that he deemed Democrats and that he was going to reckon with them, it was politically motivated, and it was therefore, let's be clear about this, although no one will dare say it,
a terrorist act.
Yes.
Good call, Jules.
If this was, if he was just a little, if he was dark of darker skin, we would be using, if he was a Muslim, we would be saying terrorist attack.
Well, this is a hate crime through and through.
He's described as an attacker.
But dogs to donut, he won't be charged under a hate crime statute.
If Kentucky even has one.
Yeah, unless he's brought up on charges through the federal government. If your state doesn't have a death penalty or a hate crime law, then
whoa,
the only way can be
brought
up
what
federal
government official would bring that up, Jules? I mean, come on. Who's the attorney general now?
Yeah, especially now, Beauregard. You know.
And, okay, so I found a little follow-up. He claims... a Mitchell Adkins wrote to the Rambler, which is the student newspaper at Transylvania University, the following. Being a Republican in this school makes me such a minority that I've had to face discrimination on a daily basis. Transylvania is a predominantly Democratic school. I'm always happy to listen to other people's opinions, but as soon as I give my own, I'm called a bigot, an asshole. Some even go far as fascist Nazi. With the election of Republican Matt Bevin as governor, I've become even more of a target for people claiming that I'm responsible for ruining this country and that somehow I'm an evil person for what would make that this state great.
Is any of that wrong?
I was at lunch.
I mean, truth is lunch
when someone told me Bevin was elected and my cheer of pride was met with looks of disgust and hatred. People left the table saying things along the lines of I was responsible for ruining this state and country. My political opinion was wrong just because it was different. I've never been afraid to share my opinion, but being in this college has made me reluctant due to the backlash, which I know is the inevitable. The constant bullying and lack of friends drove me to an overdose, a trip to the hospital and two trips to a mental hospital. The constant thought of knowing I'd never fit in was too much for me to bear. I moved back home and started trade school in a place where I thought I fit in. Despite the fact I left my past behind me, my present was too much for a friend to handle. I was very recently assaulted and literally thrown from his property after the mention of my support for Trump.
Good for the friend? Question mark?
But the story has a happy end, and I've realized that some people will be stupid, unintelligent bastards, but they're not at all the people I want to surround myself with. Dropping out of college was hard, but it made me realize that I'm here for myself, and I need to learn to ignore the occasional plagues of society, so I can better myself and make sure to never stoop to their level. At Transylvania, the leader of the campus college Republicans has said, well, you know, he showed up for an initial interest meeting, but the club had no association with him, although he did seem to self-identify as a Republican. He wasn't a member of the organization, so I didn't know him. Now, if we think back to the Wayne LaPierre clip.
Exactly. I was just about to bring that up.
He was complaining that there aren't enough Mitchell Adkinses out there and that their minds are being burnt by the liberal elite professors. Yeah, there you go. Jason just sent me a note on Skype. NRA death cult. Exactly. He went on to say that he had suffered political discrimination from hardcore liberals. Well, what do you suppose you have to say or do to get somebody to push back at you in that circumstance? Because I'm guessing, I mean, we're talking about liberals here, remember? We don't even take our own side in a fight. And at the risk of pissing people off, I don't think, with the exception maybe of the anti-fascist types, anybody's out there looking for wingnuts to engage with. Michael in Madison just said, subject line, Transylvania snowflake. Man, talk about a snowflake. Such fragile feelings. Yeah, because somebody said that they didn't like his politics. Oh. I mean, if liberals and progressives responded that way, the way he did, after the way we were treated, you know, going goddamn all the way back to the era of Reagan, the streets of this country would be running in blood. Because conservative, I mean, let's see, how about that famous bestseller by Michael the Savage Wiener? Savage. Liberalism is a mental disorder. How about that one? How about Bernie Goldberg, Liberals Who Are Ruining America? Now, that book, oddly enough, that book inspired another guy named Adkins to go and shoot up a Unitarian church in Tennessee.
I remember that.
So how do you hold these bastards culpable? You really can't. The NRA is culpable. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, it was knives.
Knives.
Probably because he had already been institutionalized and couldn't at the time get his hands on firearms. Now, bear in mind, the NRA wants the Mitchell Adkins of the world to have access to firearms. They're on record with it. And you know, there. I mean, it's a fair enough question. Asa asks, why don't these NRA pig bastards and their filthy allies just make it so much simpler for everyone and legalize murder?
We have the death penalty still.
Well, there's some of that. Listen, I want to make sure we go around the room and check in with everybody. Good. Snork's been here all evening and just as quiet as a graven image. Hey, Snork.
Still being quiet.
Yes, he is. Okay, well, let's check in with Charlie in Tennessee. Hey, Charlie. Bueller?
Maybe you should try Larry now.
Well, no, Charlie.
Can you hear me?
There's Charlie.
Yeah. There you are.
Yeah, I was hanging out in the parking lot of an Arby's here. I was getting ready to go in and get me a roast beef sandwich.
Have you tried their gyro, their gyro?
Uh-uh.
Yes, I have. They're good.
Not half bad. Not real, not awesome, but not half bad.
Oh, good.
The bread they wrap it in is kind of sweet and sugary, but not terrible. But with the Arby's version of the tzatziki, doable. Well, you know, once upon a time, at least for me.
Yeah.
But you're not all that far from Lexington.
Well, Lexington, I would have to go over to Knoxville and catch Interstate 75 north and go up that way.
Well, depending on where you are, I mean, you could always go up 65 to Elizabethtown, catch the Bluegrass Parkway, and you're there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, if you're over in the Nashville area.
Yep. I don't know. I've been kind of under the weather this week. I threw my back out somehow. Well,
ow.
I don't know what I did. Pardon me?
Working.
Yeah, I picked up a four cassette bill dispenser and changed it to safe. And after that, I never was quite really the same, so they got me on hydrocodone.
Well, you know, when used for its proper purposes, it's a perfectly legitimate drug. I heard I was taking Ferg to work this morning, and I heard this Inside Appalachia story. And it was a young man named Michael who was talking about his addiction. And I was sitting there, and I was sympathetic. He was talking about, you know, get this. He says, I was working on an oil rig in Pennsylvania, and I had my hand down, and my drilling boss accidentally hit my hand and crushed it. It hit my hand with a 10-pound sledgehammer. So immediately there's this vision of the drilling boss on the rig, of course, which is a non-union operation, naturally. So, you know, safety's out the damn window. And I guess he just turns around and doesn't notice the hand there that he's about to swing the sledgehammer down on. You know, these things happen. So it completely shattered the young man's hand. And after surgeries and whatnot, they put him on hydrocodone to deal with the pain. And I'm sitting there and looking at Ferg and talking about it. I was like, you know, that's how it happens. That's how it starts. And he said, you know, when he couldn't get the prescriptions anymore, that he was making enough money working in the oil patch that he could go out, and he couldn't get a doctor to write him a script, but he could go out and buy them on the streets. And he also talked about how he had already doctor shopped. So he had a script for him from a doctor in Pennsylvania and a script for him from a doctor in West Virginia. And, you know, again, I'm going, well, you know, that's how it goes. And he talks about how his marriage fell apart and his wife divorced him, and how the heartbreaking that was for him. And damn, this guy's had. And then he goes, of course, before I ever had the accident, I was on meth. And just for anybody who doesn't know, they don't prescribe crystal meth for anything. No, he was probably on it to keep him nice and alert, so he could get in the extra hours there on the oil rig, or maybe it was just fun. And you know, kind of in that moment, and this may mark me as a jerk, but in that moment, all the sympathy kind of went right out of me.
Well, whenever they wrote this script for me, the doctor says, "Oh, you drive." He said, "You drive on your job." He said, "Not." He said, "I've put down one 3 times a day." He said, "Take one at night when you go to bed, and that's it." So.
Yeah, you might, you know, be a little fuzzy waking up in the morning, but it's nothing that a cup of coffee can't cure.
Right, right.
Well, see, the problem is, the reason we have this quote-unquote addiction problem is because doctors don't know how to prescribe medication. They don't know how to treat pain. Pain is not treated properly in this country at all. There are tons of methods to help reduce pain, but they need to be used in conjunction with one another. When you prescribe pain medication like that, it needs to be given in a long-term dose for people who are in chronic pain, people who have long-term pain. They need to be given a long-term dose. They need to be given a short-acting dose in minimum amounts, and that helps to prevent the climbing effect of the narcotic itself. Also, there are a lot of doctors who don't look, and they'll start giving people narcotics when they have a prescription from their family doctor for Xanax or Ativan. You know, a person, you know, accidentally pops an extra Ativan or an extra, you know, an extra pain pill, and by God, their blood pressure is going to go down to the point where it kills them. And that's usually what happens, is death is by, you know, a lack of respiration, or you know, just the heart stopping because of the effects of the combined drugs. Or someone will start high blood pressure medication on top of narcotics, and that can drop the blood pressure down too and cause death. You know, there are tons of reasons why people are dying with narcotics. It's not all because of overdose. It may be a slight overdose. They may have taken an extra tablet here or there. But when you're prescribing all these other medications and the doctors aren't looking at the effects of them, it causes a hell of a lot of problems. And when the doctors aren't using other methods, you know, exercise, bracing, physical therapy, water therapy is totally underused in this country. You know, various other forms of pain relief, patches, pain
Well, as someone who has been, as someone who's been consuming ibuprofen like M&Ms, I can testify to there's other kinds of pain relief. It doesn't necessarily do the job you'd like it to do, but it is a different kind of pain relief.
Yeah, you know, I'm not talking about like fentanyl patches. I'm talking like Flecter patches. They're an NSAID-based patch. They make lidocaine patches. You know, there's a ton of stuff that can be used in conjunction with the narcotics, but doctors aren't taking time to do it, and they aren't taking the time to review medications.
Well, here in Appalachia Jules, they flat out will not write for chronic pain anymore. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how bad it is. Fuck you. Hurt. Doesn't matter. They will not write opioids for chronic pain anymore. Meanwhile, as to the meth thing that I mentioned a minute ago, Arnold just told me the oil field expression is, if you're not wired, you're fired. That's probably how he broke his hand. They're all high. I ran the frack report for 5 years, and we wrote about this stuff all the time. And yeah, you know, people coming from Texas, Oklahoma, whatever, that have really, really shitty, brutal workers' compensation schemes. I had a buddy who was a workers' comp lawyer in Pennsylvania, and he advertised hard just to tell people working in the oil patch, listen, numbnuts, don't let them tell you that you're on Oklahoma's comp or Texas's comp. This is Pennsylvania, and you'll be on Pennsylvania's comp. But the oil companies damn sure weren't telling anybody that. Let's see. By the way, James says, tell Charlie, listen, Charlie, get an inversion swing and gravity boots. Hang upside down 5 minutes each morning. It is amazing the good it will do for you. Okay.
Well, they told me not to use a back brace. I've got a back brace, and they said, you know, I went back to the doctor today, and he was a spinal surgeon, and his nurse practitioner said, you know, you can use a back brace every once in a while, but don't use it because you'll never build your muscles up, and you'll always be in pain if you do.
Oh, this is a thing. It's a harness, and you literally hang upside down with these boots to sort of reverse the deleterious effects of being an upright walking primate. So
how do you get up in it, though? I mean,
it's basically a teeter-totter, Bob.
Okay.
It has an upper part what holds your body, and then the lower part is a clamp that clamps your feet. I've used one.
Did it help you?
And then it's hung between it's on a stand.
It's like a table that you lay on.
Yeah, once you're strapped into it, once you're on it, as long as you get your feet hooked up, to go over, you just raise your arms up and pull them back, and the thing swings, and you'll go straight over, and you can hang straight down with it.
Wow.
It's a weird feeling, but it takes...
How long does it take you to get out of it in case you have the urge to go?
All you have to do is bring your arms back up. You have to get used to... I mean, you have to change your weight back towards your center of gravity, and you'll come right back up.
Oh, okay.
And before we do get out of here, Larry's with us this evening. Good evening, Larry.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. You've been mighty quiet.
Yeah, I've been mighty quiet. I haven't had much to say. I've had illnesses. I lost a tooth. They took a tooth out. My ear infection is gone, but I've still got some minor hearing. I got my mother's urn. My mother's urn is up by the television set. And Mercedes is here, and I'm going through my routine. So a lot of changes have happened over the last few weeks, but I'm still here and trying to keep sane. That's all.
Well, that's, you know, sometimes that's job one. And I did see the photograph from down in L.A., and I was really glad that you sent it to me. Thank you, Larry.
Well, that's very nice. Yeah, I've been eating a lot of oatmeal and applesauce and what else, Mercedes? Just
soup,
oatmeal and
smoothies
and things like that. So, so that's what's happening. Okay, well,
I don't know how Charles is going to be able to get up in that contraption because he's got CP. I really don't know how that's going to work.
Hello? Is the invitation still open for us to come down and watch Mercedes kick your rear end if you don't do your exercises?
Answer, Mercedes.
Oh, my God. Come on in.
Yeah. Mercedes has to.
I told him, I said I'm going to put you on Skype if you don't do that so they can see me kick your butt. But he did them today. Actually, he was pretty good. He was pretty cooperative.
Well, we're glad you're keeping him honest, Mercedes.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to do it, you know. But you know, I don't want him to become completely helpless. You know, at least now we can get him in and out of the chair, and I can help him get into the bathtub, and he goes to school. But you know, if he doesn't exercise and eat right, you know, he's going to become completely bedbound, and that'd be just a nightmare. So,
yeah,
exercise and diet that's the way to go.
Yeah, and I'm hoping I can get a partial for that space in my mouth.
Yeah, they'll do that, Larry. Just need to let that heal a little bit. You're fine. Here, lift up.
Yeah.
It sounds like Charles is in a lot of pain.
Yeah, Charles has had a disc problem in his back the last week or so, and I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Oh, is it a slip disc, Charles?
Well, answer, Charles, Mercedes is asking you.
Well, no, today they said it was just pulled muscles. They said that there's no disc damage. I went back to the doctor.
Thank God, because a slip disc is absolutely a nightmare. Yeah, muscles, if you can you, is there anyone that can give you a little shiatsu massage or something where you live, or?
No.
Mercedes, dear, you live in civilization.
Oh.
People like Charlie and me, we don't. I'm in West Virginia and Charlie's in Tennessee.
Oh, that's civilization.
No.
Up here, a shiatsu massage is you put some carpet on your back. You put a really heavy cat on the carpet, and it'll sit there and knead its paws, and that's the shiatsu massage for us.
Oh, no. Do you know what shiatsu massage is? Like a pressure point where they, like, hit the nerves in your, like, if you have pinched nerves or something, if the people know how to do it, that can be really helpful.
Oh, yes, it
but
can be.
I guess they don't have that. What?
Yes, it can be, and what Snork just described was the hillbilly shiatsu.
How are you, Snork? I haven't talked to any of these people. Well, I've talked to Charles, and I've talked to Dunk a few times, but I haven't talked to any of y'all other people for a long time. So,
I'm just changing the subject. Are some of the horrible things that Donald Trump is trying to instigate, are they affecting you in Tennessee and Virginia?
West Virginia.
Oh, absolutely.
Iowa is previewing the next stupid things to come up. We have a really bad governor, and this is where things get tried out. So we just had a governor give $1 billion of our state reserve to out of no benefits to Iowa, and totally wiped out our reserves. We have nothing.
Can't the population stop him from doing that?
No.
There's not even 3 million of us.
How did he get voted in if he's so horrible?
This is Iowa. We had not only did he get voted in, he was voted in for like 4 terms, retired for 20 years, and then has just now come back.
Yeah, the state motto could easily be, "This is Iowa. We vote for terrible politicians."
Yeah.
I mean, they got one senator who eats food off of other people's plates, and they got another senator whose claim to fame, Mercedes, is wearing bread bags on her feet as a child walking through the snow and cutting the testicles off of hogs. These are the things that qualify
That's
you for office
Ernst.
In Iowa. And we are all out
I'm
of time.
To, I'm sort of trying to visualize this. It's not really
don't it's don't
in
don't
what you're saying.
No, don't, Mercedes. It's not healthy. Do not visualize. Do not. I repeat. I say again. Do not visualize. And with that, we got to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who helped out this evening. We got even more help toward the end of the program, and I want to make sure that I get that thanks out as well. Thank you very kindly to Hamilton. Thank you, Hamilton, very, very much. I will be taking the night off. Agnes and I will be taking the night off on Monday for our anniversary. Thanks to y'all. Thanks for giving us the night off. I really, really appreciate it. So, you know, there'll be some sort of unbearable, intolerable rerun program on Monday evening. But back on Titanic Tuesday and right back at it. Of course, I don't know. If Comrade Kumquat starts World War III between now and then, we may not go out for dinner after all, just saying. We may just be right here. But the plan is to be out for our anniversary on Monday. Thank you again very, very kindly to one and all. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve for his midweek service, Yeoman Midweek Utility Chat Room Moderator Service. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.